welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of April 1st. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ain't no fool, Melissa Hansen.
No, I am not. I'm a huge one.
This is an April Fool's Free Zone podcast today.
Yes. Well, we think so, unless we fell for some news stories that are April Fool's jokes.
I think we're okay, but hopefully. In any case, what has your weekend entertainment been like?
Because I didn't get to watch the new Doctor Who.
Yes.
I actually went back and started watching from the beginning. Well, the new beginning, the Eccleston.
It's
the reboot ones. And I watched the first two episodes of that with Christopher Eccleston and Billy Piper.
Yep.
And it's really interesting, having seen up until now, seen all the episodes, and to go back and see either maybe stuff that became something else or to see them trying to find their footing.
Right.
And like I said, I think it was difficult. They didn't know how much kind of slapstick to put in or how serious to make it. Yeah. You know, I think there were a few moments in the first episode I was like, that's kind of a weird vibe.
Yeah.
That I didn't remember.
Yeah.
No, so it was cool. It was great to see Eccleston again. I really wish he had done more. As much as I loved all the stuff Tennant did.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was, he did great bringing the character back and making it. It was really interesting because the one thing I was pointing out to someone else was how much the Doctor loves humanity.
True.
And he has such a soft spot in his heart for us. And Eccleston has, I've forgotten this, has this whole thing about it, how we're just new. We're just learning to crawl.
Mm.
And they, because he's talking to other species, like they have to give us time and, you know, we can do something great. It was a really neat speech, but it was neat to see him because he was really grumpy, like yelling at us and about humanity at first. But then he keeps trying to save us.
Yeah.
Like, he's mad at us all the time, but he keeps trying to save us, so.
Well, and so, what I loved about that first season, it was very different than any other Doctor that we've seen, because he did kind of, because there was such a gap between the Paul McGann Doctor back in the 80s, and then they took this, what, like 14-year break or something like that before they started again.
And this was a bigger budget.
This was a big, really different show
than the old one. That's what I'm saying. They had a little bit of time. They had to figure out kind of exactly what direction they were going to go.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't going to be like the old one.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be kind of cheesy stuff. I mean, they had some money. They had some budget. Now we have technology to do a lot of things.
Well, and our expectations for sci-fi had changed so much in that time. You know, you look at all the films that had come and gone in between that gap, and it was everything we wanted from sci-fi now is epic as opposed to small and intimate. So how do you balance those stories on a much grander scale? And I think that's where Russell really gets credit for taking the series and painting it on this huge canvas and making it work.
Yeah. So, but it's really cool to go back and just see where the new one started and where it's ended up so far.
And the funny thing is, and I didn't intend to do this, but yesterday when I was working, I had my first day off, and God only knows how long, I watched some of the first David Tennant episodes, specifically the ones that Stephen Moffat had done.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the very first one with the Sycorax, which was the Christmas episode, where the Doctor is struggling with his regeneration, and Rose and Jackie and Mickey don't know who he is, and so they do that. And then I watched, like, The Girl in the Fireplace, Madame de Pompadour, which was interesting, if only because this was a Stephen Moffat episode, but it sets up the entire Matt Smith, Karen Gillan relationship in that here's the Doctor meeting this young girl and then supposedly only being gone for a couple of hours and then her whole life is changed. So it's this back and forth and this girl who waited thing. So you can really see the foundations of what is the current Doctor Who in that single episode.
It's cool to go back and see how things tie together and how much of it was planned or not.
So yes, and now we've got a whole new situation with Rory and Amy being gone, and now we've got this Clara Oswald relationship, which is a whole new mystery for him.
Right.
And he's a very different Doctor again because he's gone through loss and his heart has hardened, and he's trying to figure out this mystery and can't, and he hates not being able to figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious to see how these final seven episodes. And then, of course, we've got the whole thing about will Matt stay or will he go? And, you know, we've got the 50th anniversary celebration coming up, and we'll talk about that in news a little bit. But yeah, it's a property, you know, Star Wars has its fans, Star Trek has its fans, and America has finally embraced Doctor Who, which has been part of British culture for 50 years.
Yes, you know, I'm so glad they're sharing it with us.
Yeah, and now we've got this whole another sci-fi classic that we can wrap our arms around.
Yeah.
All right, well, taking a look at what happened at the box office last week, and I have to apologize because we missed, I don't know how we did, but the release of G.I. Joe Retaliation in our rundown of what was coming new last week, and it opened worldwide to $100 million.
Yeah, and just here in the U.S., $41 million.
So and this was a movie that was supposed to be out last summer, but Paramount pulled it from the schedule and said, well, we're going to do a 3D version instead.
We must do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, but they came in number one, and then The Croods hanging in there at number two with $26.5 million.
That's impressive.
And Tyler Perry's Temptation, $22
million. Wow. The boy still has some cred.
Yeah, and this is not a Madea one, too. So,
and it's got a terribly acted Kim Kardashian that every story I've seen about this movie says, don't quit your J job, because she's terrible.
Yep. And then fourth is Olympus Has Fallen. Mm-hmm. And then fifth, Oz the Great and Powerful. So, which is almost at, well, by now it's about $200 million total for Oz.
Yeah.
So that's not so great.
But they're still looking at making another one.
Of course.
And they've already greenlit a third G.I. Joe based off just this weekend.
Aye, aye, aye.
But Channing Tatum has said he will not be a part of it.
Okay.
So, coming up next week, I don't see anything here that's going to dethrone either G.I. Joe or The Croods.
Mm-mm.
We've got the Evil Dead reboot that played really well on the festival circuit, you know, the past few weeks. So that's coming up. We've got Jurassic Park in 3D, which, if I had the time, you know, to go see it, I probably would, just because I love that movie.
Oh, it's 3D.
I know.
Don't support the 3D.
I know, but I just love to see it again on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people that waited in line for the midnight show to see that when it first opened. And then we've got a movie that's kind of under the radar. It's called Odd Thomas. So Stephen Sommers, who did the Mummy movies and Van Helsing, and here was another guy like Gore Verbinski who had been on the artistic side, you know, of the process, the post-production side, and then stepped into the director's chair. This is a mystery thriller about a clairvoyant short-order cook who confronts a mysterious man with ties to very dark evil forces. So it stars Anton Yelchin from Star Trek, Willem Dafoe as the evil guy, of course, and Patton Oswalt.
Nice.
So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
If you're not going to the box office this week, you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, you head over to DVDverdict.com. At the moment, it's kind of a barren wasteland. I have to spend the next couple of days trying to add more meat to our upcoming releases calendar. But I have not been around. I mean, I've been doing theater, and finally, my Romeo and Juliet show closed. So I've got two shows out of the way and one show left on deck. But the weird thing about Romeo and Juliet, and I'll digress for a moment, is we did shows for kids during the week for high schools and middle schools, and we played to audiences of 300, 400, 500, 600 kids.
Wow.
And then our evening performances were like to less than 100 adults. But at one point Juliet had this uncontrollable nosebleed in the fourth act, and this is after she had left the Friars cell and was going back apparently commit suicide. She was going to take the pseudo poison that was going to put her to sleep and make it look like she was dead.
Right.
So she had a dagger with her, and everyone in the audience assumed that by her holding the dagger, it was just fake blood, you know, like she was so distraught she had cut her own hand. But backstage, everyone, so Paris comes back and he's like, she's bleeding. We're like, what? She's like, she's bleeding uncontrollably. So you should have seen the story backstage. Nobody in the audience knew what was going on. They thought it was part of the show. But everyone backstage is just like, wah! He's bleeding all over the place. And her mother was in the audience, and she ran backstage. And then they had the director stop the show. And it was a disaster.
Poor thing.
But she's 15 years old. I mean, this is an actual teenager. Olivia was so beautiful. She had her emotional moment. She pulled it together. And she finished the show as strong, as classy, without a step as anybody. And I've seen 30, 40, 50-year-old women with less emotional intelligence and maturity than what this 15-year-old did to finish a very emotional show. And I give her all the credit in the world for pulling it off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was a short run, but it was a good experience. And now I'm off to do some Mammoth stuff.
Okay.
But I digress. If you're staying home, coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got The Impossible, Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor, about the Taiwanese tsunami, and a family that gets separated and their journey of how they came back together and everyone survives. We've got the History Channel's The Bible, which played the past couple weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Roma Downey's.
Which is recently on TV.
Yeah.
It was Roma Downey and Mark Burnett.
Mark Burnett, right, Survivor, right.
Yeah.
Played. I didn't see it. My sister and brother-in-law were talking about having watched pieces of it, and they were really impressed with what they saw. So.
Yeah, everybody pretty much was, except for it caused a controversy.
Why?
Because the actor playing the devil looked just like Obama.
Oh, no! Oh,
yep.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brother. Okay. Yeah. If you want to own every single Marvel superhero movie in one box set, we've got that Marvel Universe collection. Finally, it was supposed to come out with the Avengers, and then they pushed it back. But I think it's $200 or something. So you get Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and Marvel's The Avengers, whatever. John Dies at the End, which is Don Coscarelli's recent mini cult classic. Don is a great filmmaker. The guy who did Bubba Hotep and the Phantasm movies and Beastmaster and all these great little films. And then coming to Blu-ray, we've got Hello, Dolly, the Barbra Streisand, and That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
So a couple musicals there for you. In terms of streaming media this week, Netflix, it's the first of the month. There's a handful of stuff. Not quite the all-encompassing wave of titles that they used to release every month, but some interesting stuff here. We've got Martin Scorsese and Willem Dafoe's Last Temptation of Christ, still playing off the Easter thing. Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn in Roman Holiday, which is an absolute beautiful, romantic love story. Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon. Interesting biopic.
Yes.
Both of them being incredibly bizarre human beings in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad thing.
No, it's just... You know, it's interesting to watch the process of one comic who is kind of off his nut play another one who is completely off his nut.
Exactly.
And then we were talking about Tyler Perry earlier. We have Morgan Freeman playing Alex Cross this time in Along Came a Spider.
Okay.
And then over at Hulu, we've got Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits, which I'm still amazed. My parents took us, so this would have been, what, early 80s? I would have been 11, 12. My parents took my brother and I to see this in the theater, and it's dark, twisted, Monty Python, you know. It kind of scared. I don't think they really knew what they were getting into, but
no.
I'm kind of glad I saw it when I did. Neil Jordan's Mona Lisa, which is a thriller starring Michael Caine and Bob Hoskins. And then we've got Sam Raimi's The Original, The Evil Dead. All right, that's all I've got from streaming this week.
All right, well, speaking of Evil Dead...
Yes.
On Monday, Real Housewives of Orange County premieres its new season, and it's the Beverly Hills reunion on Bravo.
Oh, brother.
So, Tuesday, The New Normal has its season finale.
Ooh, we're on NBC. Season finales already? Ooh.
Yeah, no, last week I was talking about, like, season finale, like, Whitney's done for the season, and, Anyhow, well, we got new stuff coming, too, so... Justified season finale on FX, also on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we have a new show starting.
Oh.
How to Live with Your Parents Forever. It's Sarah Chalk's new show.
Yeah. And Brad Garrett.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Perkins.
Okay.
They play her parents, and it's about adult, you know, moving back in.
Right, which is a common thing these days.
Yeah. So that's on ABC Wednesday, and then Thursday on NBC, Hannibal. Premiere.
Okay, I'm not so sure about this, but...
Oh, no, I'm going to give it a try.
All right.
I'll let you all know.
All right.
But also, the one reality show I really like and watch, season premiere on Bravo, Tabitha Takes Over.
Oh,
cup of coffee, and she takes up what's just hair salons, and then she branches out into other
yogurt stores and stuff like that.
So anyhow, that's like my guilty pleasure reality that I watch. Anyhow, that's she's back on Bravo this week. And Sunday this week, the CMA Awards, Country Music, is on CBS. And then Shameless, season finale on Showtime, but Mad Men is back on AMC. So, yeah, interesting week in TV.
Yeah.
And music this week, NKOTB.
Oh, for crying
back
out
into
loud.
His house. They're actually not going by that. They're going by New Kids on the Block again because they've regained respect. Their new album is called 10. And the band Perry, if you're into country music, has a new one called Pioneer. And Miss Gretchen Wilson is back with Right on Time.
Yeah.
And then, very cool, I may pick this one up. The Music Is You, a tribute to John Denver.
Oh.
So a bunch of people covering his songs, including, ready, My Morning Jacket, Dave Matthews, Train, Lucinda Williams, Evan Dando.
Holy crap.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, Emmylou Harris. They're all on that one.
Interesting.
Yeah. No new hardbacks from Patterson this week. Some stuff in paperback.
Okay.
But Ridley Pearson, Dark Passage, it's number 6 in the Kingdom Keeper series.
Oh.
That is out. And then Jessica Fletcher has a new book.
Get out.
Jessica Fletcher and Donald Bain. There's a big series of stuff written by her, shall we say. Murder, She Wrote, Prescription for Murder. So if you have been missing Murder, She Wrote, you're all set. And then Maya Angelou has a new book called Mom and Me and Mom. And it's all about her mother and her relationship with her.
Yeah,
there you go. Speaking of, Marie Osmond has one.
Oh.
The Key is Love, My Mother's Wisdom, A Daughter's Gratitude.
A daughter who continually tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, well, it's a little early here, but yeah, you can stack up for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And then Unsinkable, a memoir by Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, well, there's something.
Speaking of moms, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow. Gwyneth Paltrow has a new cookbook, which is, you know, she's really turned her attention. I mean, she's still acting, but she's turned her attention a lot to cooking. She's had, like, PBS shows about it and things like that. But this one's called It's All Good, Delicious, Easy Recipes That Will Make You Look Good and Feel Great.
Now, isn't her thing called Goop or something like that?
What yeah, she has a website and a email, weekly email.
Okay.
And going. So, yeah, she got a lot of backlash for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's interesting information.
Right.
So, if you're a fan of hers, you're going to want to eat like she does.
Yeah.
And then DK Publishing has out Doctor Who Character Compendium.
Mm.
It's all of the Doctors, all of the other aliens, all of the companions, all the everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to coincide with the second half of the season there.
Huh.
Okay, and in theater this week, The Trip to Bountiful at the Stephen Sondheim Theater.
Oh.
It just began performances. It officially opens April 23rd.
Okay.
But Cicely Tyson, Cuba Gooding Jr., Vanessa Williams,
wow.
Tom Wopat.
Wow. Well, Wopat has become quite the Broadway presence.
Yeah, he has. But, like, quite the cast there. Damn, Cicely Tyson on Broadway?
Mm.
Wow. So, anyhow, that is definitely going to be one to check out.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of checking out, who checked out this week?
Oh, my God. I hate when this happens because, so two of the actors that I was doing Romeo and Juliet are both, British nationals.
Okay.
And I had mentioned to Tim, we had just gotten the text that Richard Griffiths, who played Uncle Vernon in the Harry Potter movies and had his own mystery, comedy mystery series called Pie in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Great, talented man.
Brilliant things.
Yeah. Passed away at 64 from a result of complications from heart surgery.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Very sad.
Yeah.
So, and he, yeah, Daniel Radcliffe. You know, people asked him about it and he was talking about it because he also starred with him in theater stuff.
Yeah, they went and did Equus on Broadway.
Equus. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe, really, all of his biggest moments he was there for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's quite a loss to the acting community.
This is very true. If you were watching that Louisville Duke game last night on CBS, whoa, you get to see Louisville's Kevin Ware break his leg.
I have promised myself and someone else that I will not watch the video of it.
Okay.
I wanted to go see it, and then I'm like, I can't watch it because I turned on the game right after it happened.
Okay.
Like, he was still laying on the sidelines, like, no play. A stadium full of that many people, completely quiet.
Mm.
And I was like, and we were trying to figure out what happened, and then, you know, whatever, he hurt his leg. And I happened to go on Facebook.
Oh.
And people were like, holy shit, did you see that? And, like, comments just like, it's the worst thing I've ever seen in sports, and, like, the worst injury. And I'm just like, I can't watch this.
Well, I mean, we had friends over for Easter, and all of a sudden my phone started to explode. And so we went and turned it on, and of course it was well after the fact. But I had worked on at Duke for 6 months for Duke Medical School, so I had a lot of friends who were all hardcore into, you know, the Duke program basketball game. So I texted them and I said, my condolences, because then there was no way they could overcome the emotional boost that Louisville got to wind up winning like by 16 points. So
the Louisville one, he's going to have sort of, he like snapped his bone and it came out. Okay. From what I've read, because like I said, I wasn't watching right now. He screamed. Other players were vomiting.
Oh God.
Like it was so nasty. Like not quite professional, but pretty darn close players.
Yeah.
And coaches just lost it. It was the nastiest injury ever.
That was like the Joe Theismann thing in the Washington Redskins game where his leg snapped. At that point, they kept replaying that over and over and over.
Yeah, and that was the thing.
Over.
We're like, what happened? Because we put it on. We're like, what happened? What happened? Well, thank God they didn't keep showing it.
Yeah.
I really do know when to see it. So anyhow, the poor kid. Who knows if he'll come back. I mean, he's going to have surgery, hopefully.
It's going to be tough.
Say that he's able to come back from this.
You know, aspirations of an NBA career may have just flashed before his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
In other sad news, and you passed this over to me, Glee's Corey Monteith has checked into rehab. The show's still in production on season 4, I believe.
Yeah, and he's got a much smaller role.
Okay.
This season, and especially now he was helping out with the Glee Club, and now he's not because he kissed Emma and whatever stupid ass plot points. And Mr. Shue has turned into like the biggest ass on television.
I'm glad I am not watching that show anymore.
I consider it punishment for every week. I don't know. Pretty much. I'm like, oh, I have to go watch this now. But he plays like the complete
straight-laced
little boy on the show. And yeah. So substance abuse, he actually was in rehab when he was 19. And he's he's almost 30 now.
Yeah, playing a high school.
Playing a 19-year-old. But when he was actually 19 in real life, I guess he was in rehab. And unfortunately, looks like some demons have come back.
All right. Well, life in that business just sucks your soul dry. So you have to have a strong constitution to play in that field. Big news this week for me, you know, we've just been talking about Doctor Who. BBC has announced that both David Tennant and Billy Piper will return for Stephen Moffat's written, scripted 50th anniversary special. Now, if you remember the story, people are like, well, he's, you know, the Doctor's regenerated and she's dead. Well, no, because he was, the second Doctor was sprung forth from the hand that had been cut off in David Tennant's first episode. So the TARDIS kind of regrew a Doctor from his hand, and so you've got this, he's a human Doctor, so to speak. He has one heart, he cannot regenerate.
Okay.
So he and Rose were left back in that alternate universe at was it Wolf's Bay? What's the name of that place?
I don't remember, but yeah.
But they were left to kind of live out their human life together.
Right. She won her Doctor.
Yeah. So my guess is that somehow Matt's Doctor and his new companion are going to wind up there or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious to see how it happens. But
yeah, we'll have to wait and see
what
they do.
Because there's also been rumors that other Doctors will make cameo appearances throughout this.
Yay.
And John Hurt, who people know from the Harry Potter films as Mr. Ollivander, the wand maker, will also make an appearance as a guest. It will be the guest star in this special.
All right.
Marvel is releasing a Chinese version of Iron Man 3 this summer, apparently to kind of alter the portrayal of Ben Kingsley's The Mandarin, who is, at least in the books, a very maniacal Chinese national. So I can imagine that they won't want to offend anybody, so they're going to play it. But from the trailer that I've seen, Kingsley is not doing anything remotely Chinese with this character.
Okay, then.
He looks like some kind of, I don't know what, but Chinese was not the first thing that came to my mind. And then in the most depressing news, Disney, Marvel, and Lucasfilm are teaming up to reboot Howard the Duck.
Oh, my goodness.
The movie was terrible. So stupid. And I know it's a cult figure, Steve Gerber, the original Marvel Comics writer who came up with the character back in the 70s. And he was this... You remember Triumph the Dog, Robert Smigel's Triumph the Insult comic
yes,
dog?
Yes, how could you not remember that?
Yes, well, that was kind of what the character was like back in the comic books. He was this obnoxious, you know, irascible thing. And then they made it into this fluffy kind of sci-fi stupid thing with Lea Michele. For the movie, not Lea Michele, Lea Thompson. I have Lea Michele Glee on the brain. Lea Thompson, and it was just horrible. And I know people love it. I think it's the stupidest thing. But hey, Lucas has the money.
Why do people love it? Because it is the stupidest thing,
I guess. But you know, the next thing you know, we're going to hear a Willow reboot. So all the Lucasfilm properties are going to come back to haunt us.
Well, who knows?
So that's all I've got for entertainment news.
All right. Well. As Lindsay is, like, so far away from the rails as you can get, Justin Bieber is now going off the rails.
Oh, really?
Lindsay, I mean, none of this is shocking. She was on Charlie Sheen's Anger Management. First day, showed up on time. Pleasure to work with. Second day, 2 hours late. Stayed in her trailer for 2 hours. Stole a whole bunch of stuff, supposedly.
Jeez.
All that. She's now down in South America crawling under tables so people don't take pictures of her. And she's down there partying and crazy. And we're going to have to wait and see what happens with her, if she ends up in jail or rehab or what, because the deal they made with the prosecutors, her crazy, stupid ass lawyer from New York, you know, she's supposed to be in lockdown rehab. She has to be in lockdown for 90 days.
Okay.
Prosecutors are like, that's fine. Rehab's fine. We don't care. She has to be in lockdown for 90 days. There is no lockdown rehab.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
So they're figuring out what's going to happen with her. Meanwhile, she's partying in South America.
All right.
Anyhow, but Justin Bieber has become a little bitch, man.
Really?
He, there's like a zillion stories, but one of the biggest ones, he may be prosecuted.
For what?
Spitting at his neighbor. I guess he's been out at town a lot, and so all of his friends have been having like ragers at his house.
Okay.
And we know all of his friends do pot and whatever other drugs, and then, you know, driving his car and crashing it and all kinds of stuff. But he's back in town from touring, and I guess he's driving his car 100 miles an hour in this neighborhood.
Now we're talking in LA, not his hometown in Canada,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. LA. Right. He's an LA boy now. Right. But one of his neighbors went over to, like, confront him about the way he's driving in the neighborhood, and it became a fight. Like, not physical, but except for Justin supposedly spitting on him.
So of course, somebody's going to press charges.
Which is an assault. So the police were called, and we're going to have to wait and see what happens all that. But he's just gone crazy.
Well, for having Lindsay lived in my neighborhood back in L.A., we never had any type of party problems or anything like that.
Right.
We had the paparazzi all over the place where you couldn't drive down the street without, you know.
I know. You knew when she had a court date because you would hear the helicopters overhead.
Got it. Like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Taking pictures of her driving to court.
And she was literally like less than a mile down the road from us.
Right. Literally.
Yeah.
We were in L.A. and you were like, oh, Lindsay must have a court date because there were paparazzi helicopters.
So.
Over in Venice.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but yeah, so Justin's going to be the next tragedy. He's going to join Lindsay. He's going to be the boy version, you know, of Lindsay and Amanda and whoever else. But, okay, speaking of whoever else, I'm going to give you some quotes from film critics. You tell me who they're talking about.
Okay.
The Wrap says, nasal and awful. Hollywood Reporter, monotonous line readings demonstrate that she saved her real acting talents for her sex tape. The New York Times, grating and tone deaf. entertaining for all the wrong reasons. Oh, geez. Roger Ebert.
Oh.
Someone so famous for her curves could deliver her lines so flatly.
Oh, nice. Of course, we're talking about Miss Kim Kardashian.
Right. Like you mentioned, she's getting horrible reviews for the Tyler Perry movie. And that is some of them.
Wow.
Wow.
And people are still turning out to see it.
Of course we are.
Yeah.
We love our train wrecks.
Yeah.
So, yep. Anyhow, so poor Kimmy, her big, I mean, she's been in other films. I know she was in one of the parody films, and but small roles. This is like real acting, not just kind of being herself in a one line.
Yeah.
And, yep, not so good there.
Okay.
Ay, ay, ay.
And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. But stick around. We'll be back next. Are we going to be back next week, or are you traveling?
No, we're back next
week.
Okay,
so, and then you're traveling after that.
And then we'll be
off
a week.
So we got one more week left before Melissa hits the road, and then we'll take some time off. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, head over to DVDverdict.com. We got a ton of reviews. Back
yes, and our new contest this week is Jackie Robinson, My Story.
Ooh, interesting. As baseball gears up for a new season.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Just for tonight, one night, love you. And tomorrow, say goodbye.